Welcome to Wrestling Inside the Ropes with James Stewart.
I'm the best. I'm the best in the world. I've been the best ever since day one when I walked into this company, and I've been vilified and hated since that day.
And Mike Sarge Riley.
I don't know if you realize it or not, but you're trespassing on private property. When you walk through here, through these ropes, you're in my yard. Bad things happen in my yard.
Wrestling Inside the Ropes.
Money in the Bank has concluded. I'm joined this week by the most hated man at 98.5 The Sports Hub. But between the two of us and something named Pasta Joe, the best promo man in the Sports Hub, at the Sports Hub, Mike Sarge Riley. Mike, how are you?
Hey, I thought you were talking about Fred Tutcher there for a minute, because we know he is the biggest heel at 98.5 The Sports Hub. But Jimmy, I'm doing great. How are you, sir?
I'm well. This Money in the Bank show I thought was fabulous. I thought it was a really good pay-per-view. It had a few moments of lag, but I overall enjoyed the show. What about you?
Yeah, good show, and total 180 compared to Backlash last month. And really excited to talk about this here, so let's get the show on the road.
So my first takeaway from the event tonight is how the Chicago crowd, in my mind, has become the best wrestling crowd in the world. And my match of the night and the highlight of the show, Jinder Mahal versus Roman Reigns. Jinder pushed Roman to new levels. Match of the night, 8 stars. And the match itself was so amazing that the fans chanted the following during the course of the action, at least by what the microphones picked up for me. They chanted, boring, NXT, Rusev Day, this is awful, Johnny Wrestling, a cuss word I can't say, let's go Cena, CM Punk. They chanted delete, delete, delete. They chanted let's go beach ball. They had a full-blown crowd wave. This match sucks. End this match. Y2J and Velveteen. That's how good this 8-star classic between Jinder Mahal and Roman Reigns is.
The only thing missing was Sweet Caroline, right? That's all they were missing, and maybe a wave too, like you get a Fenway, for crying out loud. Good, you know, for the first time in a while, Roman Reigns was not on the main event. I was shocked.
Which is interesting that he's in a cooler match, but I think we'll get to that a little bit later on as we kind of go through our takeaways. My actual real big takeaway from the show relates to Ronda Rousey, and I want to mention something that Meltzer wrote in the Observer this week. I'll read directly from the Observer, or at least attempt to, because that's becoming a running gag, is that I can't read.
Yeah, well, it works.
A news item that was going around regarding Ronda's contract. What happened was Ric Flair was doing a talk show two weekends ago, with Hulk Hogan and Eric Bischoff, and there was a media question relating to Charlotte versus Ronda match. Right. Flair said that they would have to get to it quickly because, based on what he heard, Ronda had a 1-year deal and then was looking to start a family. It's not a secret that Ronda is looking to start a family relatively soon, but her WWE contract is a multi-year deal. That's important because of the TV deals, negotiations that have happened, all those deals. To the people who make these decisions, Ronda is a huge, proven mainstream star that gives WWE added credibility as a major league entertainment entity. Anyone can quit at any time, but she being Ronda Rousey, is under a long-term agreement to WWE, which leads me to tonight. She's really good. I know it's only 2 matches, but she's really good at this pro wrestling thing. And I'm not a trained wrestler, but from my 30 years of watching, being a fan, and talking to some of the wrestlers, I've linked up some of the things that they see that I see, and Ronda Rousey is special. She is really special. And, of course, she didn't win the match or the championship against Nia Jax, but she showed a lot of good things in that match.
Yep, and we saw that, you know, right off the bat there at WrestleMania, in the mixed tag match there with Kurt Angle. And the future is really bright for her, Jimmy. It really is. And very excited to see what she's going to do. And she's a draw, too. It's the name, as you say. And excuse me, she definitely will be champion sooner than later. And I think the whole thing, it's almost like, Jimmy, she kind of reminds me of, like, I want to say like a Shawn Michaels, more or less. Great performer, and just makes everyone around her better, more or less. And she can give you a good match. A really, really good match there for her and Nia Jax and what Alexa Bliss did. That was one of the best cash-ins I've ever seen in Money in the Bank history, not just on the pay-per-view itself, but any Money in the Bank situation right there. That was really cool. And I think that sets up a triple threat for next month at Extreme Rules, or even a two-off main event between Bliss and Ronda Rousey. Maybe they didn't like what they were getting with Nia Jax and Ronda Rousey, so they put the belt on Alexa Bliss right there. But they're really pushing hard for Rousey, and I'm excited to see what she's going to do potentially here with Alexa Bliss.
Well, I would make the comparison that coming sight unseen, Ronda reminds me of Kurt Angle. Just the way that she attacks the mat, she sells, she gets sympathy. Or at least it looks like, and her stuff, again, I'm a fan, I'm not a trained wrestler, but she looks really good with everything. She's smooth with everything.
Yes,
and
she does.
Ronda didn't win the match or the championship because Alexa Bliss won the Women's Money in the Bank briefcase.
Right.
She did a run-in, caused a disqualification in that actual match, and then beat up Ronda Rousey, eliminated her from the entire equation, and then cashed in on Nia and got revenge for the WrestleMania loss that Alexa Bliss suffered to Nia Jax. But I just want to run through some of my kind of shorthand notes here. I love the aggressiveness of Nia Jax early on Ronda Rousey. There was urgency in her, and when Ronda made her comeback, there was urgency there. Ronda's selling is off the charts. The combinations that Ronda Rousey laid into the body, and then there was a knee to the face, and then a couple of judo throws in there, which led to near falls. Nia Jax turned an armbar into an attempted fall. And one of my favorite things that they're doing is the slow struggle for Ronda to get control of the arm, and the fear that both Stephanie McMahon and Nia Jax had on their face as their grip on preventing this armbar is slipping away. They are becoming more and more scared that their arm is going to be broken.
Yeah.
And that, to me, is the key in making fans believe in pro wrestling.
It's a good sell.
Pro wrestling, the people who I feel like get over the most are those who believe and make you believe.
Right.
And this is something that Stephanie McMahon and Nia Jax have both helped Ronda with. When she gets to the point where she's going to break those fingers being locked and she's going to control your arm, she's going to break your arm. And the fans are going to believe that an arm bar, a simple arm bar, can break somebody's arm. And that's the good stuff in pro wrestling.
Oh, totally. And like you said, it sells, it works. And, you know, Rousey is a perfect competitor to do something like that. And they found that in her. That's why they wanted her. And kudos to her for making that transition. I had a lot of question marks with this signing here when they did make the splash for her back at the beginning of the year, whenever it was. And she has definitely done a fine job. Yeah, she can work on the microphone skills, that's for sure. But overall, in-ring competitor, phenomenal. Very, very good job.
And I think that those promo skills will come over time. I think we were all worried about how she was going to adjust as far as her in-ring mannerisms, her wrestling skills, all that stuff. And what's happening here is she's winning over the fans with how her matches are. And if she does that, the promos will come, or they'll get somebody to talk for her, and they'll go for there. For those keeping score, because these are kind of neat little kayfabe metrics that I love, it took Alexa Bliss 90 minutes to cash in to become a 5-time women's champion.
That's pretty incredible.
Dean Ambrose was 57 minutes, and Kane was 49 minutes.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, that's the shortest one ever for a female, though.
Yes, it is. Of course, it's only the third female women's Money in the Bank match.
Correct. Yep. But
of course, the first two were won by Carmella. Of course, she was a cheerleader for the Patriots, and she's from Worcester, in case you didn't know that.
And she needed James Ellsworth to come back.
I know, right? That's That was good stuff. That's a whole nother tangent. The fact that it took, and I don't want to go too far down this rabbit hole, but
no,
Asuka,
please, let's not.
914 days undefeated, mm-hmm. has lost twice in the last 70 days to Charlotte Flair and Carmella. And Carmella dominated the match. But again, I don't want to go too far off that way. Mike Riley, what's your big takeaway? I understand it relates to Shinsuke Nakamura.
Yes, it does. And Jimmy, I'll tell you right now that Nakamura, I think that this might be the end of him being at the main event competition, because he's fought AJ Styles four times in a row now and not able to win the championship. Yeah, they've put together a good, you know, some good matches. Tonight, I thought it was a great match. In the last man standing, it was probably the best one they've done together yet. But I think that was the tip of the iceberg. Now there's way too much talent on SmackDown, and AJ Styles is going to be ready for that next challenge there. I'm thinking The Miz. I'm thinking Daniel Bryan, who actually had a good match against Big Cass tonight. But it's just Nakamura. That ship has sailed now. So that's where I see him going down to a level, maybe in the United States championship category with like a Jeff Hardy, maybe even becoming part of a tag team. I don't know. But definitely no more main event. And he came in so hot last year. They pushed him way too fast. And I think that the balloon really popped a little too early for him. And now, again, demoted from main event down to the mid-card level. That's where you're going to see here next from Nakamura. AJ Styles put the nail in the coffin on him tonight. And what they're doing for AJ Styles now, which I think is great, he's been the champion for 7 months, Jimmy. That's a long time. And, you know, I think they realize what they've done with Brock Lesnar here with the Universal Championship, and they don't want to repeat that there, being the longest tenured one. I think you see the total opposite here with AJ Styles becoming the longest tenured WWE champion.
It's layered with Nakamura. One, he may end up being the biggest bust in WWE history.
Now that's hot.
Because he came in, he had great matches in New Japan. He came to NXT. He had a great match with Sami Zayn. Good program with Samoa Joe. But since he hit the main roster, John Cena had a good match with him on SmackDown Live. Randy Orton, I believe, had a good match with him on SmackDown Live. And then the match here at Money in the Bank, last man standing match with AJ Styles, that's in the conversation. So that's three good matches that Nakamura has had on the main roster.
Mm-hmm.
As far as him being pushed too soon, I don't think he was, because when he was going into SummerSlam last year against Jinder Mahal, we all assumed that it was going to be his coronation as WWE champion, and they didn't. They kept it on Jinder Mahal, which, by the way, was the right decision. They should have kept it on Jinder for longer.
Major mistake.
But I think what happened, because the year before, when it was Nakamura going into Brooklyn,
mm-hmm.
that crowd was ready for the coronation of Shinsuke Nakamura as NXT champion. They got it. They responded to it. And now you fast forward to SummerSlam a year later, that Brooklyn crowd was expecting the same thing in a Jinder Mahal versus Nakamura match. They didn't get it. And WWE, Vince McMahon, made the decision not to put the championship on him. Fast forward now to Jinder versus Brock, which didn't happen. They put the title on AJ overseas. They made a history moment. AJ and Brock have a great match. Then you follow up with Nakamura winning the Royal Rumble, challenging AJ Styles. And I think the most disappointing thing for me, and I'm not sure whether it's a matter of I've seen AJ and Nakamura have better matches in New Japan.
Right.
Or there was something missing from this series of pay-per-view matches. But it wasn't until this match, this was their best match, which is good that it was their final match for a while, presumably. But the Mania match was missing something. The Greatest Royal Rumble match was missing something. The Backlash match was missing something. This match took a slow build, had a fabulous finish.
It was.
Styles clash off the steps on the outside to the floor. The AJ Styles kick to the groin. You would think by now they'd both were athletic supporters, but I guess not. And then the finish, the Styles phenomenal elbow from the inside of the ring to the outside of the ring, putting Nakamura through a table. Great finish, great finish. And to your point, the end of Shinsuke Nakamura in any main events, at least in the short term.
Okay. So when do you see him back?
You know, I got to think that, as you said, U.S. Championship match with Jeff Hardy.
Right.
He's got to have a match with Daniel Bryan on pay-per-view. Like, that's something that they both want.
Throw The Miz in there, too. Go ahead.
The Miz, fabulous feud, but they're both on the villain side, so it's a little harder to do.
Samoa Joe,
great. They had great matches at NXT, but again, they're both on the villain side, and they tend not to do that.
Face so and heel, yeah.
You know what? I wonder if Nakamura has an injury that we don't know about.
True.
And that's the asterisk that we'll put next to any of it is maybe there's a reason why they didn't put the championship on him, and it's injury related.
Right.
And he's just been working through it.
Yeah. Well, for now, though, I just cannot see him at the main event level. And, you know, to your point there with the injury, maybe that is what he's going through right now. But there is no way he is going to be fighting for the WWE Championship anytime soon. That was the nail in the coffin tonight for a long time.
And again, that's just me speculating. That's not something that I believe, you know, because people are worried that when I use certain words that I believe something. You know, like, I believe the Celtics aren't trading Jaylen Brown for Kawhi Leonard. There's a little Easter egg for Celtics fans. I won't go too far down that rabbit hole because that's
twice. What about LeBron James?
They're not getting LeBron James. There's your basketball talk. I've done it twice now, and it's my own fault. So what's next for AJ Styles, in your opinion?
Again, I think U.S. title run against Jeff Hardy eventually.
AJ Styles, not Nakamura.
Oh, AJ Styles.
AJ Styles.
Okay, Styles, definitely he's going to go up. The Miz, Daniel Bryan. I'm even thinking Samoa Joe, big cast. They might give him a push, even though he did lose tonight. So much opportunity here for AJ Styles. Definitely, though, I think the writing is on the wall there for a match with Daniel Bryan at SummerSlam or even The Miz. The Miz, who's, you know, he rubs off as a heel, but he is over. Fans love him, but that would be a good matchup there, AJ Styles and The Miz. So much opportunity. That's the good thing about him. As you know, Jimmy, anytime AJ Styles put in the ring, he makes everyone around him better.
And I think, too, one thing that may have led to AJ retaining, you know, short of a Nakamura injury, which I don't believe, I don't know, I'm just theorizing, is they're going to announce AJ Styles as the cover man for WWE 2K19.
Right.
And that announcement happens on Monday. So by the time some people are listening to this, they may have already heard about it. If you're listening to it at 1 in the morning after a few drinks, you know, hopefully you're in an Uber safe and you're going from there. One thing that we do know is AJ Styles will not be facing the winner of the men's Money in the Bank briefcase because, as you predicted, Braun Strowman won it. Is that true? Did you predict that?
No, I said that it would be Bobby Roode, but I did say that Braun Strowman would be the guy to take off the Universal title off Brock Lesnar. I think that is starting to come to fruition here with the win for the Money in the Bank. Who did you pick? You had The Miz, right?
I believe I had The Miz, and if I didn't, I'm going to tell you that I had The Miz because that's how I remember it. men's Money in the Bank, ladder match. I enjoyed it. It told a good story. Everybody ganged up on Strowman to get him out of the match, and then Strowman made the comeback. He threw Kevin Owens off a 20-foot-high ladder. And when Strowman was really involved in the action, if it wasn't against multiple people, he dominated the match, and really he should have. Strowman winning this match was 100% the right move, and I wonder if this is an adjustment for SummerSlam.
Oh, totally is. It's got to be.
And I'll go to what Meltzer wrote in The Observer about Brock Lesnar. Quote, here's the update on Lesnar from over the weekend. So this wouldn't be this past week, and this would be the weekend before. As noted last week, so this is 2 weeks ago, there were things said in commentary on Raw more than once. So it clearly was meant to be said, building Lesnar versus Reigns, with Lesnar not working Money in the Bank or the Extreme Rules pay-per-view in July. SummerSlam makes sense. We've since confirmed, we being Meltzer and The Observer, that Lesnar versus Reigns once again is the working plan for the SummerSlam main event, and that it would be the last fight Lesnar is now contracted for. But at least as of the weekend, this is 2 weekends ago, this was not a done deal. Lesnar at this point is not confirmed by Vince McMahon for SummerSlam or any dates for that matter, which is weird since he has the championship. He's aware, he being Brock Lesnar, knows about it. It makes sense to expect it, but unless it happened in the last day or two being Wednesday, Tuesday, yeah. Wednesday last week, the right. green light hasn't been lit for whatever reason. Mike, how do you feel about Brock Lesnar essentially having a championship and no date scheduled for him?
It's awful, and he should have defended the title tonight. Like I've said the last 3 episodes in a row here, anytime you're a champion, that should be defended at every single pay-per-view. And it's still a slap in the face of the fans when you slice the cake every which way possible here. You know, he gets all these privileges, and I don't understand it. Every title, the major ones, I guess you could say, the Raw, the SmackDown, the WWE title, Intercontinental, they were all put up for grabs tonight. But the Universal one, no, because it's Brock Lesnar. He can do what he wants, and it's not fair to the rest of the roster. So, they've pontificated him, if anything, and it's not fair to everyone else that goes out there on a nightly basis to, you know, try to make themselves the top dog, and Lesnar, again, just gets away with it all the time. He will be back for SummerSlam. He will, yes. I'm not reading into – I understand that report there with what was said, but he will be back. But it's still not right, though, how it's
not defended.
Is this
you breaking news, telling the world that Brock Lesnar will be back?
Sergeant's sources.
Nice.
Maybe not. Yes.
So does this invoke that Braun Strowman now has to call his shot to get Brock Lesnar back in the ring? And if they make a decision where – Brock's just not losing the championship because he's going to go do UFC or go do something else, or they just don't want to pony up the money, and they have plenty of money. Don't mistake that. They have a ton of money to spend on Brock Lesnar, but do they just hand Strowman the championship and now he'll have the green belt and the red belt all at the same time, and hopefully they'll make a Christmas tree shirt out of it.
Yeah, it's perfect combination with the strawberry daiquiri one. You're right. But yes, I think that he will eventually challenge Lesnar to get him back in the ring, and that'll bring him back to SummerSlam. You got that too?
Do you think that they would do it as soon as Extreme Rules?
The night after.
They would do it, the Extreme Rules being their July pay-per-view, is that they just decide, okay, Brock, you've gotten the CM Punk record.
Mm-hmm.
We need this title off of you because we don't have you for any more dates.
Well, they even hinted at it tonight, Jimmy. Didn't you hear him at the end when Braun Strowman wins the title? Michael Cole's like, hey, you know, Brock Lesnar better be on alert, more or less, in so many words.
But the problem is, if the guy doesn't show up, how do you cash in on him?
He'll be there. If they're talking about it,
that's the issue.
They haven't mentioned his name since, you know, whenever, WrestleMania, whatever, or even when he was on the air last. But now that they actually mentioned it tonight, he's planning to be there, and they're planning to have him there at some point, and definitely SummerSlam at the latest.
Well, I mean, since they had Bliss cash in quickly, do you think that Vince McMahon would call Brock and say, you're showing up to Raw tomorrow, you're going to do this promo on Braun, and then Braun's going to cash in on you and beat you, and that's how they get the championship off him?
Yeah, not tomorrow. I think it would be July.
Because remember, once New Day broke the Demolition record, they couldn't get those championship belts off New Day quick enough. And by the way, that was a mistake.
Yeah, it was. And then New Day they still sell merchandise, and they made those funky belts for them. Remember that? The colored ones there. Those were cool.
Oh, those are awesome. Because they're toys. They're props.
Right. It'd be perfect for them. So I think Lesnar is back in July.
So a few other kind of quick things from the show. I thought Daniel Bryan and Cass had a good opening match. I thought they told the story of the night was working the knee for some reason.
Yeah,
I think I noticed in three matches tonight that everybody's knee was injured in some shape or form.
Yep.
Brian and Cass had a good opener. Seth Rollins versus Elias for the Intercontinental Championship I thought was an excellent matchup with relation to the story that they told. And it really put Elias in a good light as far as his in-ring work.
Mm-hmm.
We love his songs. We love his promos. But Seth Rollins might be the best bout machine now.
Totally. Totally. And we talked about this. I put a poll out on at WrestleCast 95 earlier tonight. Is he the best in-ring performer currently on the roster? And overwhelmingly, yes, was the majority vote on that.
He is at least on Raw.
Totally. I think it's a toss-up between he and The Miz. I really do. But, Raw, I agree. And he's just, again, he's kind of like an AJ Styles, Jimmy. Just makes everyone he works with good.
I thought him the Kenny Omega of WWE.
Sure, I can go with that. I can totally go with that. I thought that it was going to be I thought Elias was going to win that match. I really did for a while. I thought he needs the belt. That is a guy that needs it. But overall, though, Rollins made him out to be a good performer. And, he's going to ride that Intercontinental title for a long time. He really will.
Yeah, I can see Seth having a longer reign, more so because it's becoming, again, the workers' belt, the workers' championship belt. Think of Savage, Steamboat, that group that held it. Seth Rollins is definitely in that category right now. Another thing I thought, Becky Lynch was the MVP of the women's Money in the Bank match.
Yeah, she had a great match.
It was a little clunky in different spots where some people were late on their cues. But overall, I thought the women's match was really good. And Becky, I can't take credit for this. My New York friend Danielle, shout out Danielle. I don't think she listens. I think her friend Jennifer listens to the podcast.
Well, that's her loss.
But no, she gets all my takes anyway via text, so it's all good. She called Becky Lynch the Dolph Ziggler of the women's division.
Ooh.
The one who keeps everything together, the one who always has a great match on the show, but comes up just a little bit short. But at
great
least
comparison.
In the case of Dolph and Becky, they both have their world championships to put in their office in the display case and to brag about if they want to.
Right, right. And again, great in-ring performers. And, the company's going to keep them around for a while because they both are, they draw. They kind of do draw in a way.
And that Chicago crowd, they love Becky Lynch. They were behind her in different spots. So it was good to see.
They were. And that Chicago crowd was hot tonight.
It's the best crowd in wrestling. I'm convinced of it. The Chicago crowd is now the best crowd in wrestling.
Oh, you know what, Jimmy? I think it's just that the arena, it's kind of like a Worcester Centrum setup. It's smaller than, your cookie cutter ones that you have now, like a TD Garden or even, all the other corporate ones, more or less. But that is a smaller old school arena where everyone is on top of you. And that's what makes it so much better. And yeah, they always have been a great crowd, Chicago. Definitely for years, good fans all around Chicago, New York, Boston, Philadelphia, great, great wrestling crowds.
Yeah, that building, that Rosemont Horizon, it's now called the Allstate Arena. A lot of wrestling history there. I agree 100%. It's an older school building, which is good for everybody. What else? Did you have any other thoughts on Money in the Bank?
Much better than the Backlash. Much better than Backlash last month. And the company really needed this show, Jimmy, to, kind of resurrect themselves over the last month. We were on a serious WrestleMania hangover, and this was a big one. This was a good show as we now take the proper steps towards SummerSlam. Braun Strowman, like I said, that sets up the scenario of him taking off the belt from Brock Lesnar. The women's Money in the Bank with Alexa Bliss winning, that sets up matches between her and Ronda Rousey and Nia Jax. So maybe even Nia Jax thrown in there too. But it's just really, really good storylines to tell here over the next couple of months from what we saw tonight. And, the crowd definitely helped. And overall, I gave this a B plus. B as in boy, plus as in horizontal and vertical line together. That's what I got. What do you got?
I'm not giving it a grade. I will just tell you that I enjoyed the show. I only vote for grades on polls, and then I don't tell you what I actually grade the show. I just tell you if I like it or I didn't like it. Two quick non-Money in the Bank notes, if I may.
Yeah.
Did you watch NXT last night?
Saw a little bit, and that main event match was fantastic, the Chicago Street Fight. What a match.
That's exactly what I was going to bring up. Tommaso Ciampa and Johnny Wrestling have had the two best matches in the WWE this year, and they're both NXT matches. And, of course, one was unsanctioned, so it doesn't count. Right. Last night's was a Chicago Street Fight, which was awesome. So the scoreboard reads, the WWE / NXT record book reads, Tommaso Ciampa 1, Johnny Wrestling 0.
Zero.
And if you haven't seen these matches, go out of your way. Check them out on NXT. Their takeover shows, Takeover New Orleans for the first one, Takeover Chicago for the last, the Chicago Street Fight. And I think this is going to lead to NXT Brooklyn, a Hell in a Cell match between Ciampa and Johnny Wrestling. And we'll see if they can top it.
Yeah. No, fair enough. Fair enough. And, you know, I think with the takeover, they're really pushing the NXT stuff for sure. And, you know, this is going to be a good match and a good, you know what? In fact, I think it's going to be kind of the beginning of the end there between the two and NXT before they get the call to the main roster. So get ready for that.
And my final little note comes again from Dave Meltzer and the Wrestling Observer. We're friends of Dave Meltzer, as far as we know.
Yes.
He doesn't hate us. We're not throwing any F-bombs at him yet. I'll read directly from Meltzer. Regarding CM Punk attending All In, he told the Metal Injection Squared Circle Pit website. Metal Injection Squared Circle
what does that mean?
Pit website. I don't care. It's got a quote from it. Google it.
Okay.
No, I got some crippling anxiety when I'm in crowds now. My wife has it really bad, so it gets amplified if she's with me, unless it's a Stanley Cup final or an occasional Cubs game. I don't think you'll see me surrounding myself in a sea of people. This translates to me, what I felt a few weeks ago. CM Punk will not be all in. And I hope that the people who bought the tickets for that Chicago show were not expecting 100% for CM Punk to be all in.
I take back what I said last week, that he would be in the crowd and he would be there in some sort of capacity. No, he will not be there. He is done with pro wrestling. It is over.
And so it's interesting because my friend nailed it, that he had a mental block on pro wrestling. He
there you go.
Used much cooler terms than I did.
He's gone in the Chicago sunset.
Do you have anything else, Mike?
Good show, Jimmy. Overall, very good, and excited to see the road to SummerSlam as it has officially begun now. So here we go.
Evolve Wrestling, Melrose, Massachusetts, next week, June 24th. Adam Cole, the NXT North American champion, is on that show. 7 o'clock bell time, 877-435-9849. Or WWNLIVE.com. Go support local wrestling.
Absolutely.
For Mike Riley, at Sarge985.
And also at WrestleCast985. Check us out there on Twitter.
I am on Twitter at I am James Stewart. I am, of course, James Stewart. And I'm a legend in this sport. And if you don't believe me, just ask me.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.